Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Bless you.
Thank you. Sorry. That wasn't on the air, okay? Was it?
Oh, no. I don't think so.
Attack.
Just a little part. Don't you feel bad when someone coughs and you say, God bless you, and they say, oh, that was just a cough? That happened to me the other day.
Never happened to me.
We had a big show for you, of course, Steve Cochran Show. A beautiful Wednesday morning. It's crazy what Steve said in the news. It's, what, 74, Steve? Yet it feels like it's 94.
Yeah, the relative humidity right now is 900%.
You know I'm just baiting you, right?
It's 90%. I know you're baiting me,
Come on.
It's still, that's why it feels like it's 90 outside right now.
What did you see this morning?
It's a rickshaw. Yeah. It's Thailand. I know. It is.
I just want to turn the air off so bad. I'm so sick of it.
It's so nice out this morning.
It doesn't feel like it's 70 now, does it?
It was humid when I walked out the door.
Yeah, me too.
Nasty.
6:12. I'm sorry. I was running to come in late. I was downstairs trying to figure out where we're moving.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. So I was talking to a couple of rental agents. I got us a condo downtown.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Wait, though. It's like a suite, though. So we each have different rooms, different areas to ourselves.
You take what you can get.
You
wake up one day, you find out you're out. The Tribune building was sold yesterday to a development group out of Los Angeles for $240
million? Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that does not include any of the bedrooms. It's $240 million. It's just bathrooms.
I went out looking for boxes this morning.
You should. You absolutely should. Hoard them and then sell them back to the staff.
There you go. Ennit pointed this out. This is very funny. The front page of the Sun-Times is a full page. Beautiful, of course. The Tribune Tower is a gorgeous building. It's a landmark building.
That's a dump. That's why we're moving.
So huge spread, huge story on that, yet the Tribune has. Where is that, Dave? It's this
here
tiny
in the
little
business.
Blurb about Tribune Tower was sold.
It's on the front page of
the irony.
Business section below the fold.
Yeah, and thought about that because the Chicago Publishing Division and the Chicago Tribune Media Company are two different companies now.
Yes, Trunk.
Mm-hmm.
So where?
Trunk. That's the company.
It's a ridiculous.
I think it's Trunk.
I'm sorry.
Trunk. Anything, if your company name sounds like a noise a hippo would make, it's probably not a good thing.
By the way, did you know they have cologne in the paper? You know,
I did.
I
did. Yeah, that's when I was in college. I used to just rub it on my neck. But the reason we're talking about this is because the landmark Tribune Tower has been sold. Tribune Media actually owns the tower. That's our company. And has been sold to this developer. And I would assume... We know all the offices are going to be moving, but I would assume that means this studio will be gone in about a year.
That's not what our memo says.
What's the memo say?
Our memo says we're staying.
We have a lease through 2018.
We have a lease through 2018.
And Feeder this morning, Robert Feeder.
I don't read memos.
Feeder says we're staying permanently.
From our program director. Yeah.
From Todd?
Yes.
Yeah.
Todd said we're staying through 2018.
We have a lease signed.
We have a lease. 2018.
Okay, listen, that's all well and good. I'm just telling you, get some boxes.
Yeah,
this is a very valuable corner.
But don't you always keep those handy anyway in this business?
I do.
I didn't even think about selling them back to staff. That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the best use of your time. To take some boxes, start hoarding them, you know, and then get ready to sell them back. Grzanich boxes.
Yeah.
You could, you know. Yep. That could actually be a label
it
for Grzanich. That could be a whole new revenue stream.
I'm going to work on a graphic later.
Yeah. Nice way to make friends.
Yeah.
So.
I get dibs on the first bedroom in our suite. I'm just saying.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, right,
I mean,
cool.
you're a girl.
I get good. Second. So are they going to change the name of the building?
This building?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what they do with it,
what is
right?
It, CIM?
No,
what
CIS.
CMI?
CIS probably isn't a great name.
No, I don't know if they'll change it.
It's
they'll probably
be
sell the name.
Guaranteed Rate Tribune.
Guaranteed Rate Tribune Tower.
They'll probably sell the naming rights to a whole other source of revenue.
It's probably going to be an office building and a hotel, right? Like everything else. Mm-hmm.
I would think, or high-end apartments, high-end condos.
I think two other people, Boom and Ba, were going to
Sim, Boom, and Ba? Well, those would be the partners.
It's Sim.
Sim.
I am.
Yeah, it's not Sim.
Oh, I thought it was Sis.
No, sorry, John.
Oh, John. Hi, John.
Hey.
Mary, don't you realize your facts screw up a good punchline?
Oh, sorry.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
6:20 in the morning, I was babysitting. I was getting in trouble for using the word babysitting. Babysitting my granddaughter yesterday. And we were hanging out having a good time. Because she's 8 months old and I have the maturity of an 8 month old. I taught her, Ross and Lauren live on the third floor, and I taught her how to, get just the right level of spit and watch it fall all the way to the sidewalk.
Good
so
skill.
Good. Yeah, right
That'll
over the railing.
Be good when she learns to crawl. She'll have somewhere to practice.
She's got the crawling things seconds away.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's, she gets up on one knee, and the other knee is kind of out to the side, and she's trying to figure out how to get it all going in the same direction.
She's kind of scooting. So. Doing the scoot?
Yeah. Well, she's reaching. And then finally she'll just turn around and look at me and go, "You're the adult. Grab the frickin' ball so I don't have to do this all day."
Do you wonder what's going through her mind?
Yeah. So we had a lot of fun. And Ross had a great idea for today's text question. Ross Cochran written text question for today. Donald Trump has accepted an invitation to meet the president of Mexico. The president of Mexico, who's got the approval ratings of bad taco meat. He's at about 22%, 23%, depending on the poll in Mexico, has invited both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump to come to Mexico. Trump has accepted the invitation. He will go there this morning prior to going to Arizona tonight to make his big immigration speech. So here's the text question. What's the most awkward meeting you ever had?
Oh, gosh.
312-981-7200. Most awkward meeting you ever had. Keep in mind, President of Mexico called Donald Trump at different times Hitler or Mussolini. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump goes into this meeting going, could you tell me, will the criminals and the rapists be there? Will there be any of the rapists, the criminals, or the murderers that I mentioned in my campaign opening speech? Will they be attending our meeting?
I think we should be exempt from this question.
Awkward
this
meeting?
Is just a little, yeah.
Well,
remember who we used to, yeah.
Yeah, no, listen. I don't have time to do all my awkward meetings.
Well, your most awkward is probably the bathroom meeting, right?
No, it wasn't awkward at all.
Oh, okay.
More of a relief. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. It's also the texter number. Most awkward meeting you ever had. That's the texter question. The thing you got to wonder is, why didn't Hillary Clinton say yes to this invitation?
I thought that, too. I think she will. Don't you think she'll?
Yeah, but she's let Trump get a leg up here, because unless, well, I hadn't thought about this, but maybe the Mexican government is going to keep Trump.
Oh.
Maybe they just arrest him and keep him.
I don't think they want him. Just a thought, but.
Well, you got a president in Mexico with incredibly low approval ratings who needs to do something really dramatic. He invites Trump in for a meeting and maybe takes something off his desk, puts it in Trump's soup pocket when he gives him a welcome hug. Oh, Trump was stealing from my country. I had to arrest him. Now you've arrested Trump, the guy that said the Mexican people are rapists and criminals, and there's no wall to be built because you're keeping him.
You know, Enrique Nieto, the president.
Peña
Nieto. Doesn't he remind you every time he appears? Do you remember the Sandra Bullock movie, Our Brand is Crisis?
Yeah, yeah.
And she was the campaign manager for that political
Carville type, yeah.
Yeah, that's who he reminds me of a little bit. And that whole election, how it was, they were all such low ratings, and then they were just competing to try and get like a percent up and a percent up.
Yeah, you're just trying to get to the top when there's 47 people still in.
Right.
So Nieto will meet with Trump today. And it's hard to figure out how Trump could end up not playing this. Well, I shouldn't say playing this because he doesn't know what he's doing. But this should be a positive for Trump. But then again, Trump has to come out of this meeting and go make the speech in Arizona tonight. And unless he comes out of the meeting and says, "I talked to Nieto. Yes, they're paying for the wall." I don't know how else he keeps a leg up with the people that supported him from the beginning.
Nieto has to be tough, too, though. He can't back
He's
down
at all. He's not going to pay for the wall.
No. Not only that, too, but where he said, well, most Mexicans are rapists. I mean, the cut that we played in the montage at the start of the show.
Yeah.
He can't be tough. He can't back down with Trump.
No, I don't. And I don't think he will, because if he does, his 20% approval rating will go to zero very quickly.
True.
This is a Secret Service nightmare. You've angered an entire country, and you're flying your candidate into the hornet's nest. So God bless them to have to protect this idiot. I mean, this candidate. And the meeting, again, takes place this morning, and then he goes to Arizona tonight to make his big speech tonight. Other news out of Arizona, John McCain won his primary yesterday on his 80th birthday plus a day. He now goes forward to compete for his sixth election to the United States Senate. And Debbie Friesenglajen, Farfik Nugan, what was her name? The former head of the DNC?
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah, that's her. She won her primary, and Marco Rubio won his.
I'm surprised Debbie Wasserman Schultz won, aren't you?
Yeah, I am too.
I know it's just a primary. But
somebody asked Rubio yesterday if he'd finish his term, and he said, yeah.
Yeah.
So he may not. He may not. So that's all a little bit of the political flavor. But I think Hillary Clinton made a big mistake in not accepting the Mexican president's invitation first and getting the press for this first. Because if Trump gets a positive bump out of this, that could make the 6-point edge that she has in most national polls almost nothing. So we'll see what happens. However, expect that they, I mean, the look, here's the danger of this. The logical answer is they come out of the meeting and they both say in their native languages and in their non-native languages, it went great. We had a very substantive discussion and we moved the ball and we're going to get along great. And we've worked out some of our differences. We both said things in the heat of the moment. That's what should be said. But since it's Trump and a guy who's really desperate straits as the president of Mexico, oh, this could be a big day.
No.
This could be wacky time.
Be a great photo op if Nieto just went, basta! And slammed his fist down and walked out.
Did you just curse at me?
No, it means I think it's enough.
Yeah, I hope.
I hope so, too.
627. Let's take a break. Come back. Continue. Steve Cochran Show number 725 on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
.645. We'll get to traffic here again in just a second. At least Glink is standing by. ThankGlink.com. I'll break this up into two parts. Would you explain? Good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
I want you to explain to me first why the Fed is important and why we should pay attention to the interest rate discussions by the Fed. Because basically, this is what America does when these discussions come up.
Well, I actually don't disagree with that at the moment, given what's been going on with the Fed. But right now, what the Federal Reserve Bank does is it regulates one important thing. It does a bunch of things, like it makes checks. Do you write checks, Steve?
Only if I have to.
I haven't written a check in a really, really, really long time.
There's two or three places that's a recurring bill that still are not on automatic payment. So those are the places that get a check.
So monetary policy, which falls under the Federal Reserve, part of what they do is they regulate how checks move through the system. Mm-hmm. And they have had, I don't know, it's at the height of it, maybe 12 check processing plants, facilities, whatever you want to call it, for the billions of checks that go through the system as money moves around. And they've closed a whole bunch of those because people use debit cards and they use a lot more credit cards. And we're moving into the era of electronic money. And so those have closed down. But the Fed is responsible for how money moves through our system, both here and in the, abroad. And they work with other Federal Reserve banks or the equivalents, like the European Central Bank, to make sure that money moves effectively from country to country. So that's kind of the big thing about what the Fed does. It also has something called the Federal Open Market Committee. And what they do is they regulate the short-term interest rate. This is the interest rate that banks are allowed to charge each other. They also have something called the open window, where if a bank needs to borrow money overnight to cover some transactions, they can come and borrow at this, super low interest rate. So that's some of the high. They do lots of other things too, but that's kind of at a high end what they do. And what they have every 6 weeks or so is this Federal Open Market Committee meeting where they decide what the short-term interest rate is going to be.
And when we come back from the break, what does the short-term interest rate do to what you pay for money and why it matters to you as we continue with Money 101 with Professor Glink.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need.
6:52 now. Elise Glink is with us. We love Elise. You can get all of Elise Glink's stuff at thinklink.com. Don't go into her house and get her stuff. Get it online at thinklink.com. How was your vacation? Last time I talked to you, you were headed out.
I was. I went off to Guatemala for a family wedding.
So you say.
I know. I can't really tell you where I was. Somebody would have to be, you know.
You can tell by the pause. There was something illicit going on.
There was actually a live volcano erupting where we were, which was really kind of cool. We weren't that close to it, but you close enough that you could kind of take a picture, and it was all blurry red on top.
Well, that's interesting. So you could see a little lava action.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. So if you haven't scheduled your Guatemala volcano vacation, contact Elise.
That's right. Happy to lead a trip there.
Inside tips. All right. So we gave you a little 101 on the Fed and what the Fed does. Why does the short-term interest rate matter, and what does it affect in my life?
So it's interesting. The short rate matter, the short interest rate is important really mostly to banks, but it does have an effect on what we pay for mortgage interest rates, for credit card rates, and for other kinds of loans that go into the system. Even student loans are sort of based on the short-term interest rate and then the longer-term rates. And so when you set the short-term interest rate policy, it kind of filters out through the system, and that's kind of why we watch it. And what's going on with the Fed right now is, you may remember I was on your show end of last year, and the Federal Reserve was saying, hey, this is going to be a really strong year. We're finally going to raise interest rates, and we're going to do 4 interest rate raises this year.
Yep.
And that hasn't happened. And it hasn't happened because what they do is look at the economy, and they know that if they raise interest rates even a quarter of a percent, people won't buy houses as much. Maybe banks who aren't really inclined to lend all that much now will lend even less. And they're worried that that will actually put the brakes on the economy. They also know that what's going on with bank accounts, like your savings account, earns basically nothing, which is better than what's going on in Europe, where your bank account actually earns negative interest rates. And that's been the danger. We're so close to zero with our interest rates now that if you don't raise them, they're worried that the effective rate after after inflation will be negative, and they think that would be very bad for the economy.
And what that means, kids, is you would be charged to have the bank hold your money.
Yeah, basically, you put in $100, you get 97.5 back, or whatever the negative interest rate would translate into.
Yeah, the value of your money would be less than what it actually is when you put it in.
Yeah, negative in terms of anything economic is generally bad.
Yeah.
When somebody says the word negative in it, like negative interest rate.
So should we ignore that? Look, I've said for a long time we ought to ignore the Dow because the top 30 big board stocks don't represent the real economy anymore, unless you're a market player. But should we ignore the Fed news and just proceed with our life and contact the experts like you and say, well, what would you do? I'm hiring you to make this decision for me. Or should we pay more attention to it?
Well, here's what's interesting about this year. We're in this thing, this presidential election catastrophe.
Yeah, the S show. Yeah, the S show. Yeah.
Which is going to Mexico today, apparently.
Yes, yes. Awkward!
Yeah, well. So here's the thing. The Federal Open Market Committee meets September 20th and 21st. Then they meet right before the election, November 1st and 2nd, and then again right before Christmas, December 13th to 14th. There's no way the Fed is going to do anything a few days before the U.S. election, right? It's just not going to happen. So the question is, are they going to raise rates at September 20th and December 13th, or just one or neither? And I think that in terms of what your question was, do you care? The answer is you really don't care. The people who care are going to be the realtors and the home builders, mostly. There'll be a few other people who care. And you may see a rather dramatic rise in interest rates for credit cards just because they're looking for an opportunity to raise them. But in terms of your day-to-day life, if you're not carrying a whole lot of credit card debt and you're not trying to buy a house, this probably shouldn't matter all that much. And I'm wondering whether they'll actually do anything. They've kind of set it for 2 years, so you think they might, but the economy is like, it's okay. It's sort of holding its own, but nothing great.
So do we overcover the Fed in the news business?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, then I'd have nothing to talk to you about.
No, that's not true at all, because you have great information all the time. But in overcovering the Fed, we create fear, panic, and concern where there doesn't need to be that.
There's a connection between what the Federal Reserve does with this raising of the interest rates and the stock market. And so you alluded to it a moment ago. Here's the thing that I think most of us don't really realize, right? when interest rates go down where they are now, which is functionally at zero, or maybe even a little below zero if you factor in inflation, what that does is send the stock market into a tizzy. And so here we are with the stock market at record highs, basically, and you've got interest rates all the way at zero. And there's a lot of concern that the Fed making any movement whatsoever is going to mean that the stock market's going to take a big hit. That's where it hurts most average people, because we've got all this money in our 401ks that we dutifully put away, and one day we want to retire on it. When the stock market does wild gyrations, it's very scary. And I think that's why we cover it so often, because people are a little panicked about their retirement, and it's almost like, is today the day I'm going to retire? Where's the stock market? Like the short straw.
If you want to get smarter with your money, thinklink.com. She does birthday parties and bar mitzvahs as well, and I love when the kids sit around and have you explain the Fed to them, the little look on their face like, when is she done talking?
Wait, it's Steve, really nice. I just have to say the Fed this week, this here, you want to know what the big news was with the Fed? They started their own Facebook page this week.
What, is that going to catch on, that whole Facebook thing?
I don't know. Nah. It might be something. You could invest. Who knows?
It looks like
we all better like it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go right now.
That's Elise Glink. She's great. ThinkGlink.com. Back with the news next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Sandberg's here, producer of the program.
You know, I have a new husband.
Loyal means business. Comcast Sportsnet.
There's some systems at the house.
Wait, what do you mean by systems?
Here we go.
So we have a list. So on the list, yesterday, there was Diet Coke. He drinks Diet Coke. So I bought some Diet Coke. So I brought it home from the grocery store. And there's an empty Diet Coke box sitting on the counter next to the refrigerator.
You cannot be serious!
Wrote it on the list, but left the empty container sitting on the counter.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
He works at night, so I waited for the phone call.
Did he know something was wrong at that point?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Hey.
I said, I bought Diet Coke, but I noticed the empty container was sitting on the counter. Were you keeping it for something?
Hello? Hello? Don't hang up on me. I want to talk to you.
You ever catch yourself in the middle of these moments, these Sandberg moments, where you go, maybe Steve's right. Maybe I am nuts. Oh, that's tremendous. Oh, my God, that made my day. You know, the thing about you, though, Sandberg, you're crazy in a really delightful way.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, all right, by the way, can we talk for a second before we find out if the Diet Coke incident is passed? And do you guys remember my band, Diet Coke Incident? That was my band. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
Let me know if you're hearing the show.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. They were all taking notes for some reason. I'm not sure what that was.
But before we get to that, let's just discuss your theory on the cold that you have.
Yes.
Because I suggested you stay home today.
Yes.
And I was not the only one. I believe you got calls from other people on the staff that suggested
some of our upper management.
I respect that you came into work, because that's great that you want to work. But your theory is you came into work, why?
Well, I was already here yesterday, and I was sick. Mm-hmm. So you've all been exposed. What's the difference if I'm here today?
Well, that was nice. By the way, can I just say
hold on.
Yeah, but you had fever.
No, hold on. Let this sink in for a second. This is not how colds are spread.
They're my same germs. So
you
already saw them yesterday.
You don't get one shot. You can be infected Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, any day.
Any time of day. But can I say one thing, though, before you continue? Nobody in this room, except maybe Steve, requested you stay home. So you know, we all wanted you here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Is that the fear talking?
I knew I found the empty bottle of cough medicine that was just sitting on the counter
that scared you. How are things at home?
Things are good.
So you didn't have to yell at Pat? You didn't have to correct his behavior in any way?
No, I did not have to correct him. You know, that makes me sound a little bit like I'm strong-handed.
Yeah?
No, yes. She's not. No, she's not. Stop it.
Again, that's the fear talking.
I know. I wish that my head didn't. I could take a break from needing everything the way I want it. But
you got to do what you got to do.
I do. And my systems are the best systems. That's the thing. There's never a dirty tip.
And if the people would just follow my system, there wouldn't
goodness.
Be a problem.
I know. That's the thing.
Now, I do have to say, and Mary Vanderbilt, I don't know about you, but how you're running your house, but a lot of people chimed in and agreed with you. And by people, I mean other women who are also a little nutty.
That's right. Yeah. Nutty. We just know what we want.
I just said usually this happens well after a long period of being married. She's only been married for 2 weeks.
But I'm older. Yeah. You know, it's not like I'm 24 and I'm just bliss and I think, right. This is all, so we're so young and cute together. Now we're older, I've got systems.
Your ripe old age, you've decided that this is the way it's going to fly.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be on the plane, jump now.
I mean, we could do it the other way, but if you want the most efficient and
the right way.
Yeah. Come on. We just fall in line with what I want.
How are you not in the military?
I know. I would be really good in the military.
It would be like Goldie Hawn and what was the movie called?
Private Benjamin.
Yeah. One of the things at Private the house Sandberg. That I learned is that you're not supposed to make the kids' beds. They have to have some responsibility.
Sure.
And they would make them and I'd remake them because I grew up with a mom that did that. And so I'm
so you're blaming your mother?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm not doing that any longer. And Patrick left. He they were with us this weekend and he left his bed unmade. And I'm like, oh. I go in the room and I look at it and I leave the room. And then I'm like, I want to.
So you're like in another room and the bed's haunting you.
Yeah, I know that bed is disheveled and it's driving me crazy. And I'm like, what if somebody comes over and they go into his room and they're like, she keeps an unmade bed in the house?
Mary, what are your thoughts on wire hangers?
Yes, that's right.
Tina! Bring me the axe!
By the way, I don't want to just single you out because here's a message to all wives and girlfriends worldwide. If you ask us to do something and we do it and you correct it, why did we do it in the first place? Just do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, this is why men have a selective laziness. Why would I go make the bed when you're going to go in and fix the bed that I made?
Yes. Though I would say, pulling the blankets up does not count as making the bed.
That's why you should make it.
Whoa,
see,
wait
that
a
would
minute.
Drive me crazy too, Mary.
And
I'd
you
have to
know
make
but,
it.
Let me just
well,
say,
then why did you, well, you seriously, men know so seriously, better. Why ask? I'm being serious now. Why ask if you know I'm going to do it in a way you find so reprehensible you're going to have to redo it?
Because you probably aren't giving full effort, I'm guessing.
Right.
So is the effort then, or is the exercise just so you can correct me?
No.
Or is the exercise so, well, what's the point of the exercise then?
Just do
I'm
it right.
I'm going to disappoint you.
But let me clarify. He didn't even try to make the bet.
Oh, yeah. He didn't even
try. I mean, there's not even an attempt.
This is like a...
If he would have attempted to make it,
I would be okay.
Yes, you'd leave it as is.
Because he's nine.
Okay, Cochran, back off.
Who are you kidding?
I've just evolved. That's been in the last 6 months that I've worked on that.
Okay.
I think you guys, and I mean you men,
yeah.
know mm-hmm. better. When you wash the clothes half-assed and you say, oh, but you do it better. You make the bed better than
no,
I do.
No, it's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Come on.
Not true.
No, we don't do it the way you want us to do it. Therefore, you have to do it over. Here's the thing. You have to do it over and you get to be mad? That's ridiculous. This is why men walk around going, I can't figure her out. I don't know what's going on.
Steve, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. And that is the fear talking. It's 7:19. When we come back, we got a couple things to plug. Including Kid of the Week. Had a great Kid of the Week again yesterday. And John DeCosta's here. John and I were talking earlier about maybe an extension of the Kid of the Week that we're considering. So in a moment on WGN. First, here's Mary. If that's okay, Mary, I don't want to get you
upset. Wait, more kids?
Well, we'll see.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll see.
It's too hard of a decision to make now.
Yeah, well, that's why you and Dave have to make it. A couple of texters, amen on the redo, Steve. The point of the exercise for women is correction and to turn control. Texter from the 815, Sandberg is nuts, so is my wife. I like this segment. It makes me not feel so alone. 708, folding clothes as a guy is a futile exercise. Shh, my wife's coming.
It's true.
And let's see, one more. Steve's right about selective laziness. I've experienced that. I'm the wife. I used to be much like Mary, but now I realize when I go to other people's homes, if I even notice, I'm excited to see someone else doesn't have the perfect house. Typically, I don't notice. It's not my problem, not my house. I'm a seasoned 47-year-old woman who learned that relaxing is more important. Signed, April. April, thank you for listening. And then see if you think this might be a guy. Why would anyone make the bed after they get out of it? Makes as much sense as tying your shoelaces after you take them off.
What's his area code? Let's give his phone number out. Let's call his wife.
I have a lot of slip-on shoes.
Right. It's much easier that way.
Darn right it is.
All right, couple of plugs. You have a new, we're trying to make John a YouTube star. We're frankly, not having a lot of success, but your YouTube page is really good.
It's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun.
So you keep doing videos. You keep posting videos to...
Today Into Cause.
That's right. Correct.
D-A-C-O-S-S-E.
Today Into Cause. And the new video is?
When you're hot, you're hot.
Is this related to air conditioning?
No.
What is it?
No, it's... Kevin Powell helped me with this. Oh. He gives me
Kevin Powell from the Rokan
habanero chips, and they're really hot. And then I take his cup of coffee and down it, not knowing that it's coffee.
So it's good, common fun that you might have with habanero chips and hot coffee.
Yeah, and it's which is typical every day.
That's great. All right,
it's just everyday things.
Today and to cost.
Yes, on YouTube. YouTube. Yeah.
All right. We have a show coming up.
We do. We do. Saturday, September 24th at Governor's State University with Rocky Laporte from The Tonight Show and Pat McGann from David Letterman. You and I as well. Mm-hmm. It's going to be
We see you and I like fun. We're the add-ons. I mean, hopefully a couple of people are coming out to see me and see you.
Okay, they might be coming out to see you. I'm not even going to go be there to see me.
Rocky Laporte is brilliant.
Rocky Laporte, we've used before.
Yeah.
He's been on shows before. Pat McGann is hysterical.
Pat's great.
It's such a
John is
show.
Very funny, and I provide a lot of free parking. it's at Governor State University. This will be a great show. This really will be a great show. And it's when?
It is Saturday, September 24th, 7 o'clock. You can get tickets. You can go online to centertickets.net, or you can call the box office directly at 708-235-2222. And this, of course, is an Iceman production.
As always. All right, so Kid of the Week. We mentioned this, you know, another great Kid of the Week yesterday. We get such great kids on Kid of the Week. But as Dave and Mary will back me up on this, you know, makes you feel bad about your own kids. Because these kids are really, they're tremendous. And I'm kidding about our own kids. We all have great kids.
We love our kids, but these kids are changing society
for
the better.
Big things. Big things.
Can I give a little shout out to, remember Aiden Balow, who was our Kid of the Week, I think in June? He was his nickname was The Tank. And he was a football player who was battling a couple of different ailments. He was back in the hospital last week, but he is home. And he says hi to everybody on the show.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
So hey to The Tank.
Well, we can't figure out how we keep coming up with all these great kids, but these great kids are out there, which is why people like Kid of the Week, because you keep shining lights on these. But you got to believe the majority are still disappointing kids. So, John, if you would go in the other room,
sure.
Call the show, we'd like you to play the role of disappointing Kid of the Week.
Disappointing Kid of the Week.
What's your name?
Dillard.
Dillard. All right. Dillard. All right. Go make the call. Go call me. John's going to call me. He will be Dillard, the disappointing Kid of the Week.
And he is, just to make it clear, he is not in contention for Kid of the Year.
No.
No.
No, because he's disappointing.
Of course, yeah.
And this has nothing to do with disappointing Kevin.
No.
Remember disappointing Kevin Powell when he first started?
Is he disappointing again now that he left, he bailed on you and went to Rosho?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. There's no question about that. Dillard will be calling here, and we will honor Dillard for the brand new award of disappointing Kid of the Week.
Does he get a prize?
And we'll see if this reminds you of your own kids.
Okay.
Oh, so we're going to have disappointing kids start calling now?
Yeah, I think so.
Phones will be flooded. Yeah.
Do we have Dillard?
Turns out he's not very punctual.
He's so disappointing.
He's so disappointing he can't find an office with a phone?
Doesn't know how to dial.
Oh, my God.
Well, for the time being, Mary, do you want one of your disappointing kids to call in?
Was there traffic in the hallway? No, there he is.
Sandberg's or mine?
Hallway. Was there traffic in the hallway?
They got to walk down a hall and make a call.
I didn't hear of a crash.
Not very far.
All right, he's standing by.
Hey, it turned out that Dillard just called in.
No, I'm just on the phone. Good morning. Is this Dillard?
Hello.
Is this Dillard?
This is Dillard.
Take the phone a little bit away from your mouth, Dillard, so we can understand you a little better. Dillard, congratulations. You're the disappointing kid of the week.
Okay, what are you going to give me?
Well, we'll give you some prizes in just a second, but can you tell us a little about yourself? Are you in school?
I'm on the phone now.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that, but you were in school. You go to school.
I like the phone.
It's tremendous. Do you go to school?
Yeah, if I feel like it.
Okay, good. That's points for disappointing right there.
Yep, right there.
Do you do chores around the house?
No, because that makes me get sweaty.
Right. And who wants a sweaty kid? What do you like to do for fun?
Um, I for fun. I like I'll eat Twinkies.
Uh-huh. And is that dinner?
That's all day.
All day long. All right, so we have a lot of disappointing points in your favor. Is there anything else you do that's disappointing?
No, that's it.
Right. He can't even remember all of his disappointments. All right, well, congratulations. You're the disappointing kid of the week.
What am I getting?
Oh, I got disconnected.
Oh, he
I don't
clicked.
Know what
look at
there.
That.
Yeah.
Dillard. Disappointing kid of the week.
What am I getting? Hmm? Yeah, right?
No.
We've never been asked that.
No.
By the real kids of the week.
Awkward meetings. What's an awkward meeting you had? Trump meets the president of Mexico this morning. Awkward. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Some of what we saw in the Manbidge fight was direction from Baghdadi to his fighters to fight to the death. Obviously, they didn't, so they didn't follow his direction, which may be an indication of the state of ISIL, at least in some cases here. As you look across the full battle space, you see that ISIL is under more pressure now than at any other time in the campaign. We are causing the enemy to have to look in multiple directions, and they are struggling to respond under this pressure.
Got buried in the news yesterday, and it shouldn't, because one of the main players, maybe America's number one ISIS target, is apparently dead, taken out. That was General Joseph Votel on the apparent death of ISIS leader, spokesman, lead propagandist, amongst other things, Abu Muhammad al-Adnani. You know, when there are bad guys in the world, I turn to one source. He's my Wikipedia of bad guys, thugs, and creeps. And that's Micah Halpern, who joins us. You can Google Micah Halpern about all things related to what he's writing, what he's doing. MICAHHALPERN. Good morning, Micah.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Nice to have you on. Do we know this guy's dead, or do we hope he's dead?
That's a good question, because it was already earlier than reports of his death, which is an interesting expression that I think Alfred Nobel used, that the reports of my early demise are premature.
Right.
But the reality is that I think he really is dead from the information that I have right now. He had been reportedly hit by a drone earlier in January, and another time been very badly wounded and all these other things. But he was still out there. Now I think that the message is clear. I think that he has been eliminated, as the use in the lingo in the field.
Yeah, so here's the thing. We've always heard about al-Baghdadi being the leader of ISIS, the founder, if you will. Why is this guy so important, and why was he maybe even more important to get?
Oh, this guy is unbelievable. So I've watched dozens and dozens of his videos, his YouTube videos, and his messages. Let's say on the eve of Ramadan, this character, Adnani, remember, Ramadan is that month-long fast of introspection within Islam. He says to the people listening, he says, we don't want you to come join ISIS in Iraq and Syria. We don't need you here. We need you at home, because there you could strike at the heart of the enemy. And literally within days, we had terror attacks in Orlando, within a day later. You understand my point. And then from there into Germany and in France and all kinds of other things. His message was heard and riveted to by followers around the world. And so that's an important element. When the guy says, we don't need you to fight here. You're not going to be good here. You're much better at home in the heartland. He called it in the heartland is the word that he used.
Was he some kind of social media expert? Because I heard him attributed to be the guy that led the propaganda effort and the recruitment effort.
Right. He wasn't necessarily a techie. So he isn't the guy behind your board who's pushing out all your tweets and stuff like that. But he's a content person. He was a person that really strategically understood how to convey a message. So he was more than, he's called the spokesperson and the media expert. He's more than that. He really was able to strategically understand the power of ISIS and the power of the message and the way in which people were going to be listening to it and to get them. He was moving them away from, let's say, going to Syria and Iraq and moving them into Yemen and Libya. That was another one of his messages, that the front is no longer in Syria and Iraq. The front is now in Libya and Yemen. And you go there, and you'll find things. And it's not just in the Arabic world, obviously. In the world in general is where he hits. Because most of the recruits, most of the fighters that were going out to fight were not necessarily from Arab countries, which is important also. We think of it that way, but that's not the case. And so he was just a master of that message, an absolute master. Hey. And it's a really good thing that he will no longer be presenting those.
Micah, the State Department labeled him a terrorist in 2014, I believe, and it says they put a $5 million bounty on his head. Do we still pay those? I mean, is that considered?
Yeah, the bounty's still, but the difference is that it was a group of techies with joysticks probably sitting around in
on a mountain in Colorado.
Either in Virginia, Northern Virginia, or Palo Alto, or in Germany with joysticks,
right.
who were doing that, and they're not allowed by law to collect any reward. It's their job. So, but it's sort of funny when I say joysticks. That's really what they do. So they're running these drones from out in the middle of nowhere, and they're getting the information, and they're going out and pursuing it that way. So if he was hit by a drone strike, he was hit by a drone that was coming in under the control of the U.S., and they are not entitled a reward for that, no bounty.
So if 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is achieving the goal of the caliphate, of the full Islamic State in the Middle East, where is ISIS now? Because it seems they've been degraded significantly. They may still lead Mosul or lose Mosul. You know, the dam that was such a grave concern remains a concern. They could flood half of Iraq. Well, where are we at? Are they a five now? Are they a three? Where are they?
Okay, so, I mean, you're asking a question in terms of valuation. What I'm suggesting is that they're an organic body. And an organic body is hard to gauge in terms of strength. In terms of health, I can tell you. But here's an element. Let's say, for instance, they were once enormously powerful, let's say, 18 months ago in Iraq and in Syria. And that, as correctly described, has been degraded. But they have moved. They are no longer, there is no longer the priority anymore. Sure, it's a part of their potential future caliphate. But their major priority right now is moving into Yemen and Libya. And that's where we're seeing strength and development. Also, that's where you see total anarchy. So there's no ability to control them and check them. And that's where they're growing more and more. And that's where they're going to create that. So, yes. In Syria and Iraq, especially in Syria, they have dropped tremendously in their strength. But they pulled their own fighters out. Remember, at their peak, there were only 40,000 people, right? 40,000 fighters, if they pulled out 10,000 or 15,000 of them, and we've already killed 10,000 of them, they're down to almost nothing.
Right. Right. So, I mean, the effort continues, obviously, but it does seem that they, if you drive the bad guys...
Think about the price that we're paying against every one of their fighters.
No, I understand that.
Cost.
Yeah, the cost per death of ISIS member, it's a stat that would be staggering. Having said that, bad guys on the move is better than bad guys in place, isn't it? Or is it worse?
Actually, I wish they were in place because then you could keep them confined. When they're on the move, then they're in danger of popping up again. It's like a cancer. So you got it when it's controlled and within its own context. You've got it. You could destroy it. If some get out, they can recreate themselves elsewhere.
Right.
When you do that, the danger, and it could be bigger. The second cancer could be bigger. Right? Especially because you don't know where it's going to come from. You don't know where it's going to raise its head again. And that's the danger. I would have wished that they would have stayed right where they were. But they weren't. They already had. So they had a plan B. I talked to you about 6 months ago. I remember on your show, I talked to you about plan B. This is their plan B. They had the plan B set up already a long time ago. Only a handful of us were actually explaining it to people, but people didn't believe it because they were feeling the success in Syria and Iraq. Doesn't mean you've got total success. This is not a Rocky show, okay? It's not one punch doesn't knock them out. This is the long haul. You got to see where these guys are running. This is playing a serious game of chess. And we're getting much better at it. There's no question about it. We're much, much better at it. But we are sitting flat-footed and on our heels. And that's a shame.
Last question. Kim Jong-un has been labeled by you rightfully long before people made him a central character in the bad guy world as just one of the world's more dangerous nuts. And he now is said to have killed his education minister for a bad attitude and previously within the last year taken out another high-ranking member of his party by shooting him with an anti-aircraft gun. Is this propaganda or is this what this murderous thug is doing?
Well, we can't confirm these things. That's the funny thing about, you know, it's a closed country, so we can't confirm what the leader does. And the character is, without a doubt, an immature child. And as are most dictators, are immature children. And they have these strange, sort of babyish ideas. And if you disagree with them, disagreement in the pre-modern world, as well as with these kind of characters, means death. And that's exactly what we're hearing. I wouldn't be surprised if it took place. I wouldn't be surprised if it was true. However, I can't confirm it.
That's just outrageous. Best place to find you is everywhere, right? Micah Halpern, Google it.
Yeah, just Google me, and you'll find me. Find my new television show, of course, which you can watch on Google also, and on YouTube and everything else, which is good, too.
Thank you for the help, as always. Awkward! Donald Trump is meeting with the president of Mexico this morning, invited by the president of Mexico, who had previously called him Hitler and, who is it, Hitler?
Mussolini.
On Mussolini, yeah. Yeah. And then Trump, of course, said that the Mexicans, you know, were criminals and much worse. Matter of fact, you can picture the meeting where somebody says to Trump, oh, you've been invited to meet the president of Mexico. Will the criminals and the rapists be there? So it turns out Trump will meet President Peña Nieto. I think that's the pronunciation.
That's very good, yeah.
This morning.
Yeah.
And then do the speech on immigration tonight in Arizona. We'll talk to Jim Ryan from ABC News next hour about that. But if you have an awkward meeting you'd like to share with us, that's our text question of the day. Awkward meetings, 312-981-7200. Could be when you met his parents, her parents. Could be when you met the other woman, the other man.
So not just work meetings.
No,
this
it could be
just
anything.
Any kind of meeting.
Any sort of awkward meeting.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's so many.
Well, you guys come up with a couple. We'll ask Steph awkward meetings as well coming up. Lewis Black was asked about he was on MSNBC yesterday. Lewis is an old pal. And Lewis Black was asked yesterday about the election, the campaign 2016. Here's the great Lewis Black on this mess.
We, the American people, reached the point where reality and satire finally intersected.
Yeah.
That's it. We live, what's extraordinary, where you guys discuss this every day.
Right. Yeah.
This is fiction.
We don't know how to put it on.
We are living in fictional times.
Mm. Except
this would be better in a book. If you woke up and read, listen to
me. I'm listening.
If you woke up and read this in a book, you would say, ha, that's a great book.
In other words, close your eyes, click your heels, and this will all be over soon. If it was only that simple. Here's one of my favorite stories from yesterday we didn't get to, and it's a world story. Maybe it's a little happier. Mark Zuckerberg was in Rome, and he met the Pope. Leader of two of the world's biggest institutions, the Catholic Church and Facebook.
Sure. Well, Facebook has a page, or rather, the Pope has a page.
Yeah, the Pope's page.
Mm-hmm.
Page of Pope.
Better like it.
Do you poke the Pope?
Poke the Pope.
Do you poke on Facebook anymore?
I don't think anymore? They poke anymore.
Oh, okay.
Unless, I don't know.
Pope poking would be odd.
I haven't poked
the
Pope.
Don't poke the Pope.
No.
Does the Pope poke in the woods?
Wait, what?
So it's traditional when you meet a world leader to exchange gifts. So I don't know what the Pope got Mark Zuckerberg, but I'll give you $1,000 if you can tell me what Mark Zuckerberg got the Pope.
Is this for real? I mean,
yeah.
Would he really?
Uh-huh,
what he
uh-huh,
gave
uh-huh,
the Pope?
Uh-huh.
A T-shirt?
A drone.
Did he really?
A drone.
Oh, that's cool.
See the Pope in Vatican Square flying the drone, buzzing people coming in to see him behind a wall.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood.
8:14, Dean joins us from Channel 9. Dean.
Give up on us, baby.
So much of the music of the 70s. Just crap. It's my decade.
Torn between two lovers.
Run, Joey, run, Joey.
It's a good decade to be a DJ.
Daddy, please don't. It wasn't his fault.
Don't give up on us, baby.
Oh, we got to get the engineers to check that out. It's weird. Every time that song starts, it just shuts right off. It's
having
weird.
A malfunction. Couldn't have sold the building fast enough. All the machines are breaking down.
Speaking of a malfunction, Donald Trump will be in Mexico today to meet with the Mexican president. And we're not clear if the rapists, the murderers, and the drug dealers will be there to greet him. But the president of Mexico also would call Trump Hitler and Mussolini. So, Dan, we're looking for awkward meetings. Awkward meetings from the listeners. Most awkward things you ever had. You know, mom, dad, mother-in-law, father-in-law, boyfriend, girlfriend, boss. Saying horrible things about your boss. You turn around, your boss is standing there. That's where you got to get a talk show. Same on the air.
You know, much more liberating. Much more liberating.
That's exactly right.
Have you had any of those said experiences?
Oh, I've had a lot of them, sure, but none of them to do with being fired. No, those weren't awkward. Those are.
That was just cut and dry.
It was a relief. You know, remember there was a British actress on ER. I think her name was Alex English. Does that sound right?
Was she the British woman?
The British nurse?
Yeah. Doctor?
The British woman?
The British actress, the British woman?
With the red hair, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Alex English played basketball.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I must be thinking of somebody else.
You know, whatever.
It wasn't Alex Kingston.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a British actress whose last name was English. That would be what she spoke. Alex Kingston? You're probably right. Doesn't
I believe
matter.
So, yeah.
So anyway, she plays a nurse on the show. At the time, she was married to a famous actor, Ralph Fiennes. And I had her, this is, you know, probably pre-internet. So I said to her when I had her on the phone, hey, it must be fun, you and Ralph Fiennes. Gosh, that's got to be great. You and Ralph Fiennes. And it's like I'm getting crickets on the other ending.
Yep.
The night before, Ralph Fiennes, and it had just been reported that morning and I missed it, Ralph Fiennes had fondled a flight attendant on a plane.
Oh.
Awkward.
And she had announced within, you know, a couple of days after the interview with me that they were getting separated and they were moving on. So that was a little awkward. Yeah, it was a little awkward. Yeah.
You know, comedian Caroline Ray?
Sure.
You know, she was, she's been on a bunch of TV shows, but she was on that Sabrina the Teenage Witch show back in the 90s. Late 90s, early 2000s, and we had her here on the TV morning show. And, you know, normally I do a fair amount of preparation for the interview, so, I know what I'm talking about. I just didn't have time for this one. I thought, it's Caroline Ray. How hard is this going to be?
Right.
So my first question was, how are things going on Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Oh, God.
The show apparently had been canceled like 6 months prior, and I didn't know that.
Oh, kids, the lesson here is do your homework.
Do your homework.
Here's a listener, a former coworker tried to get me fired for sexual harassment. HR looked into it, fired her for a false accusation. 2 weeks later, ran into her on the sidewalk. Oh, hi.
Hey.
Hi, ooh. Beth. Ooh. You look nice.
Don't give up on us.
We got some great textures coming in. We'll get to those in a little bit. 312-981-7200, the text line. What? Chris Brown. Whoa, what happened there? Chris Brown, Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber, congrats to the Paramount Theater, and Dean hanging out with Clint Eastwood, all coming up.
How about that?
Pretty great.
And it wasn't just an interview with an empty chair, although some of my interview subjects seem like they are.
Oh, I think you could tell me that's what Clint Eastwood thought of you.
That's very possible.
All right, we'll come back with that in a second on 720 WGN.
You'll be calling his name.
Reed joins us from Channel 9, 823 on the Steve Cochran Show. What happened to Chris Brown?
12-hour standoff with the police yesterday. The police were called to his home after a woman there claimed that got into an argument with him over a piece of jewelry. He pulls out a gun and starts threatening her, so she calls the police. He holds off the police outside of his house. for about 12 hours before finally he lets.
What do you mean? He said, don't come in, I'll shoot her or something?
He said, no, you're not coming in here. You're not coming into this house. Finally.
Couldn't they get a search warrant?
Eventually, that's what happened. And they did go into the house and spent several hours inside the house. He was arrested. Steve, I know this is what I would do. This is probably what you would do, too, if you had something like that going on. And you're holding off police outside of your house for, you know, 10, 12 hours. First thing you do is go to your Instagram account.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's what I do.
You know, you leave a message like this one, like Chris Brown did.
I ain't did shit. I ain't gonna do shit. And it's always gonna be the police. Black Lives Matter. I don't care. Y'all gonna stop playing with me like I'm the villain out here, like I'm going crazy. I'm not. You guys got me fucked up though. So good luck. When you get the warrant or whatever you need to do, you're gonna walk right up in here and you're gonna see nothing, you idiots.
So they did get the warrant.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the cool, calm, collected nature of Charlie Sheen. It was kind of a Charlie Sheen kind of moment going on there.
Very tiger bloody. Very yeah. True. Very true. The police finally did go in, took him to the police station. He was released later on. His attorneys say that he did nothing wrong. He's denying all of the allegations against him. Posted bond. He's back outside again. But this is, you know, this is another encounter with the law from Chris Brown, who had the domestic violence charges against him when he was then boyfriends with Rihanna.
Beat the hell out of Rihanna. I mean, this guy is a complete thug and incredibly dangerous to himself and others. And this will not be the last time this happens.
Don't make me get on Instagram.
And by the way, after you've held the police off for 8 hours and you know they're coming into the house, and you're going to hold them off for four more, definitely call them idiots. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I love how everybody...
I think we've identified the idiot in the story.
Everybody else is always blamed. The media, yeah. The police.
Oh, it's the cop's fault.
I didn't do it. Well, you held police at bay for how many hours, Dean?
12.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got nothing to hide? Open the door. Idiot. I don't need Instagram to discern that. Oh, hi, Dean.
Hey, Judge Judy.
I said idiot.
I believe in fair trials as long as I'm the judge.
Exactly.
Selena Gomez not touring anymore. What happened now?
She has decided to put her world tour on hold.
Me too.
Last year she revealed that she has lupus and has decided to take a break from the world tour. Wants to focus on her health, wants to focus on her happiness. This may also be the reason that she's no longer dating Justin Bieber. But, yeah, she's been dealing with lupus, which is an autoimmune disease. It's a disease in which your immune system is attacked by...
Tough. Can be very painful.
...your own body. It is controllable, but it's tough to deal with. So she has taken some time off. In the meantime...
Me too.
Her ex-boyfriend, Justin Bieber, has set 8 new Guinness World Records.
I didn't know you get a record for being a jackass.
Well, apparently you do, and I'm surprised, honestly, that either you or I haven't gotten that particular award. These are the new ones from Justin Bieber. His song, What Do You Mean, mm-hmm. was the most streamed on Spotify in mm-hmm. 1 week, 30 million streams of just that one song.
That was one girl in Tucson. She streamed it 30 million right. times.
Those 14-year-olds have plenty of time on their hands. The album itself was streamed 200 million times worldwide in just a week, and he also broke the record for having 17 songs on the Billboard Hot 100 chart at the same time.
Well, good for him. That's a lot of success.
Until he redoes Don't Give Up on Us, Baby, I'm not that interested.
Yeah, I figured you might not be. Congratulations to the Paramount Theater. We know what good people they are out there and the fine work they do, but boy, they just crushed it, huh?
This is the second year now that they've been eligible to be nominated for the Equity Jeff Awards. These are, you know, the local theater awards for excellence in Chicago theater, and they scored more nominations yesterday than any other theater. 14 nominations for their productions of Oklahoma, West Side Story, Hairspray, and A Christmas Story, the musical. So congratulations to them. I'm pretty sure I've seen all the shows that they've been producing there over the past several years. I don't think I've seen a bad one in the bunch so far. And they've got a new season that's going to be starting early September with my favorite musical, as you know, Mamma Mia. So I'm looking forward to that. But congrats on all their nominations. The Marriott Theater also was nominated for Best Musical for their Man of La Mancha. Chicago Shakespeare Theater for Ride the Cyclone, and the Patti LuPone, Christine Ebersole musical that was at the Goodman Theater, War Paint, also nominated.
Clint Eastwood sits down with you to discuss what?
We talked about his new movie, Sully, the movie about Captain Sullenberger, who did that emergency landing in the Hudson River several years ago. Tom Hanks stars in the movie as Sully. I've seen this one already. It's a really, really great movie. This one is definitely going to be Oscar consideration. So we talked with Eastwood not only about the movie, but about Chicago. I walk in the room, and here's 86-year-old Clint Eastwood singing Sweet Home Chicago as I walk into the room.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't usually get entrance music like that, you know, especially from a four-time Oscar winner. We talked a little about that and his love for Chicago. Here's Clint Eastwood, one of the most legendary actors and directors of all time, singing the Chicago blues for me to make me feel at home when I walked in the room. I appreciate it.
A man's got to know his limitations, so he's not going to be singing too much longer.
You like Chicago, though, is it?
Yeah, I like Chicago.
You enjoy it?
I've been there many times. I went there. I think the first time I went there, I went there to be interviewed by Roger Ebert, and this was back when we were both very young. It's quite a few years ago, and I wasn't directing at that time. I was just an actor, but I just directed my first film, Play Misty for Me, and Roger liked it. So anyway, we're doing a thing, and we ended up drinking too much beer in an Irish saloon there.
I've decided, Steve, that from now on, with all these A-listers that I talk to, I think I'm gonna start getting drunk with them instead of worrying about are we having an interesting conversation. Having a few pops with them.
How great would it be if you could add your time machine, you know, the one you keep at the house, and you could get video of Roger Ebert getting smashed with Clint Eastwood?
How about that? How about that in some dark little saloon someplace, just, you know, throwing back some beers with Clint Eastwood.
It's tremendous.
And Roger Ebert.
It's tremendous.
Amazing. So we're going to play the full interview with Eastwood on Sunday. Talks a lot about the movie, talks a lot about Tom Hanks.
And you haven't seen the movie yet?
I have seen the movie.
But you can't review it yet.
I cannot review the movie, but I can tell you that I think it's one of the best that I've seen so far this year. I can't review it because it doesn't open until September the 9th, but I can tell you Hanks is amazing. He's going to get nominated for this movie. This is one of the best movies that I've seen this year. Steve, that is not a review of the movie, though.
No, absolutely not.
Reviewing the movie.
No. And I actually pitched them with a similar idea when I tried to drive a Segway from the Segway Tour in Grand Park into Lake Michigan. And it turns out I sunk.
Equally disastrous results.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
8:32, back with your big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
They're illegal immigrants. They got to go out.
You're going to have a deportation force, and you're going to do it humanely.
We're going to build the wall, folks. We're going to build the wall.
We're going to be saying you have to go.
They'll pay back taxes. They have to pay taxes. There's no amnesty as such. There's no amnesty.
Right.
But we work with them.
And there certainly can be a softening because we're not looking to hurt people. We want people. We have some great people in this country. Well, I don't think it's a softening. I think it's...
But 11 million people are no longer going to be deported.
I've had people say it's a hardening, actually.
But 11 million who have not committed a crime, there's going to be a path to legalization. Is that right?
You know it's a process. You can't take 11 at one time and just say, boom, you're gone.
Could be a softening, could be a hardening, could be something in the middle. I haven't really decided. And now he's off to Mexico. You can't make it up. All of this campaign, from start to finish. Jim Ryan from ABC News joins us. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
You can't. There's no point in trying to write this down because nobody would believe it. And this has been the most bizarre presidential campaign season. And the last 12 hours have sort of confirmed that. You know, this invitation apparently had gone out from the president of Mexico sometime back, Enrique Peña Nieto, inviting both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton separately to come to Mexico City to talk with him about issues important to both countries. Peña Nieto, you know, he's got his own political fish to fry down in Mexico, not popular among his own constituents, only about 22% approval rating among people in Mexico. So here comes Donald Trump. He's going to accept that invitation. The two of them sit down together today in a closed-door session that will last just long enough for Trump to get up here to Arizona to make an immigration speech.
All right, so let's go in reverse order. What is the feeling in Arizona about what Trump may say tonight, and will you get advanced text sometime this afternoon?
Doubtful. And I think that speech is still being written, on that Trump 757 as he goes to Mexico and then leaves there with whatever he learns from the president of Mexico. We haven't seen any sort of advance yet. Well, always seen and heard for the last week is Trump saying, well, I'm softening my stance. Wait a minute. I'm not softening. I'm hardening my stance.
And am I hard or am I soft? Is it soft? Is it hard? Is it somewhere in the middle? It's
sort of like a Tootsie Pop. Crunchy on the outside. Gooey in the middle. Who knows?
Right. So the people of Arizona would like to hear a tough stance. I assume this will be a friendly crowd. You know, you're coming off McCain's
win
yesterday.
Though? That's the thing.
Will it
be a friendly crowd? It may be sort of a mixed crowd here at the Phoenix Convention Center because of what he said a week ago about maybe backing off just a bit and then going down into enemy territory and sitting down with, quote, the enemy. How will these bedrock Republicans here in Arizona who've helped to propel him to the nomination feel about all of this? It's sort of a gamble that he's taking here, hoping to maintain support of those people and yet trying to bring others under the tent, minority voters specifically.
The win for Trump is, if he plays this, as he looks presidential. The loss for Trump is to the core that believed him when he said he'd build the walls. If he comes out of that meeting with anything short of, I'm going to build the wall, because isn't that the obvious first question? What did you say? Are you going to build the wall and are they going to pay for it?
Sure. And what do you think, Enrique Peña Nieto, with 22% support among his own people, is he going to say, yeah, I went ahead and agreed that we're going to build this wall.
Yeah, in fact, by
the way, we're going to pay for it, too. I doubt that that's going to happen. And in fact, we may get spin from both of them on what happened in this meeting. There will be witnesses. And wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall for that one, Steve? It'd be fascinating to hear what happened.
I'd moderate the whole thing just for the enjoyment of being there. I don't understand the invitation. Do you? What is in this for the president of Mexico with that approval rate to invite the fox into the henhouse?
Well, I think that he wants to look presidential, too. He wants to seem statesmanlike and reaching out to the rest of the Americas as he tries to pull together an economy that's been hobbling along for some time. You know, you've got the El Chapo debacle and the escape of that guy, the recapture and the embarrassment that's caused. And so I think he's trying to do something to shore up some kind of support out there. I think maybe he was as surprised as anybody else when Donald Trump accepted his invitation before Hillary Clinton could. It might have been more friendly meeting between Clinton and the president of Mexico.
Yeah, I don't understand why Hillary Clinton wouldn't have taken the invite first and not allowed Trump to grab the press from this. But I don't know Nieto well enough to know the answer to this. But is it possible he's setting him up, setting Trump up, so he can be the tough guy and pound his shoe on the desk and then walk out of the meeting saying, I told him we're not paying for the wall, and I told him to stop talking like that?
Yeah, I think you're right. And we'll have to see what the other people in the room, Rudy Giuliani is going with Trump to Mexico City today.
That should help.
Jeff Sessions is going down there with him, too. So, I mean, they're certainly friendly to Donald Trump, and I think that they'll be able to put spin on this meeting as well. And Enrique Peña Nieto will have his own people there with him who will put their side of the story out there. But, you know, it'd be great if they would just allow one camera in, record the whole thing, maybe put it out live, and so that people could see exactly what does happen in that meeting.
It's Jim Ryan from ABC News. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. I know we ran you
a little
long, but great information as always. I don't know why Hillary Clinton's people weren't smart enough to grab this opportunity.
I agree.
Especially considering bad news around her campaign again today. Mm-hmm. The FBI apparently has, the FBI and others have uncovered emails directly related to Benghazi that she specifically deleted, which can reignite that whole thing again. She had an opportunity here to control this story, and she basically handed it over to Trump. Now, Trump, of course, has the opportunity to blow it. Mm-hmm. But this also could be very positive for
him. No, you're right, though. She's had a lot of opportunities to jump on and just has not.
I don't get it. What did Trump's son say yesterday? Ah, oh, boy. You get the kids involved in the campaign, you got to take them to Dairy Queen. Eight o'clock hour, sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. This is show number 725, facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Won't you like me? You know me, I'm sort of needy. On Twitter at Cochran Show. Oh, and don't forget my MySpace and my Friendster pages. Let's see. Oh, show number 725, did I mention that? Yeah, and texters at 312-981-7200. You can continue to send in your texts of awkward meetings like Trump going to Mexico. Will the rapists and the criminals be showing up as well? You can't make it up.
Well, how do you untalk that? You know, it's not like you said, I mean, you said the word
rapist.
Hey,
booby, I was kidding. Is it possible? Here's the movie of the week. The movie of the week is Trump takes political asylum at an embassy there because he's tired of running for president.
Okay.
I love Mexican people.
Lifetime or TNT?
Hey, look at the picture of me eating a taco salad. Clearly, I'm not down on you people. Here's a texter on an awkward meeting. Mom asked if I could drive my aunt, a nun, and two other nuns back to their assigned school over an hour away. After a long stretch of silence, one of the nuns said, go ahead, play one of your cassettes. I decided not to, since the only cassette I had in the car had one song on it called We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll.
Yeah. Kiss or Motley Crue?
I remember the awkward nun story. A buddy of mine was golfing, and he's in Denver, and he walks out. I've told this story on the air before, I think, but he walks out and he hooks up with three guys. And he hits it left, he hits it right, he's playing really poorly. There's an F-bomb here, an S-bomb there. Finally gets to the fourth tee, there's a pause, and he goes, so what are you guys doing in town? I go, well, we're all priests. We're here for the...
the priest
conference.
Convention?
Yeah, whatever they were in town for. All right, so 312-981-7200, keep those texts coming. What does Donald Trump Jr. say about Dad's speech in Arizona tonight? Say about Dad and his immigration policy? Here's Donnie Jr.
I guess what people has... And you know this better than anyone. What has concerned, particularly Republicans, just in the last week or so, is some of your dad's statements about softening.
Anderson, I was there because you're obviously referring to the Hannity thing.
Right.
I was there with them. I did a segment, you know, for the next day, you know, 5 minutes after that. He wasn't softening on anything. He didn't change his stance on anything. What he did was, and what he's done all along, is he's speaking with the people. He's not lecturing them like most of the politicians you see today. He's actually having a conversation. He basically surveyed the room and asked, hey, what are your thoughts on this? I want to take that because I want to take into account what the people say. Unlike our opponent, who basically will take into account only those who contribute millions and millions of dollars to her campaign, he's actually having a conversation with the people of this country, the hardworking men and women who made this country great. He's giving them a voice. He asked an opinion. He didn't say, well, my policy's now changed. He didn't say that. Now, the media will run with it however they want, but that's not what actually happened, and I was in the room.
It did seem to some viewers, though, who we talked to, that it seemed like he's polling the room. He's not quite sure what his own policy is.
He was asking for an opinion. His policy has been the same for the last six, seven, 8 months.
Keep an eye on this, kids. Keep an eye on this piece of this, because there's a common theory amongst insiders who are willing to talk, even off the record, that Trump's policies, he's like Zelig, the old Woody Allen movie Zelig. Trump's policies are determined by the reaction of the last person he talked to. You cannot be president of the United States and have and run the country that way. And there's pretty good evidence that that's exactly right, which is why he continues to change. And if that's how they're going to set up a change, we've talked to people and we've decided that we need to bend a little bit on this. He's going to get crushed. He'll be in Arizona tonight yapping about it, provided the Mexican president lets him leave Mexico. It's 8:59. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I was in my taxi, but then I realized that Uber had been invented. Called up Uber and they said, why are you calling? Use the app. You're an idiot. I'm a cab guy. I mean, I know you guys are all Uber guys. I'm a cab guy. You know where it started? Major crush on Mary Lou Henner. Yep, that's where it all started for me. She joins us now. The lovely and talented Mary Lou Henner, who remembers everything. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Oh, a little sexy taxi music and your, you know, smoldery kind of voice. It sounds so cool.
Thanks for that. And do you remember the last time we talked?
was when I was, doing it in Chicago.
Yeah, you're in Chicago. You're here in the WGN studios, and we pretended to dance with each other. So we take this picture. We're pretending to dance with each other, right? And I think, this is cool.
That's right. It was like, we put it in the universe, which is why I'm now on Dancing with the Stars. Look at that.
Look how it all worked out.
Started with you.
But we're pretending to dance, and I think, how cool is this picture? We get the picture back? No, I'm a grown man. I'm a grown-ass man. And I look at that picture, I got a little nervous little pit stain on my left arm. I had that photoshopped, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but you can have that. Yeah, exactly. You can have that photoshopped.
Ugh. That's what happens. You get Mary Lou Henner around you, you sweat like you're in high school.
Well, you get giddy all every time you talk to her.
Yeah, we love you. Congratulations on Dancing with the Stars. Was that a tough decision?
No. Are you kidding me? I've been wanting to do the show for so long. I've been following everybody on Twitter, and I would come to some of the shows and, you know, have my agent call and say, you know, are you interested in Mary Lou and all this? I mean, they were either going to ask me to do the show or there was going to be a restraining order, you know. So I'm glad they asked me to do the show.
Do you have an advantage because of your history as a dancer and a live theater performer and things like that?
Well, it's been a long time since I've danced on stage, like 19 years, so 18 years, and haven't taken a dance class since that time as well. And, you know, also having taken dancing in a little neighborhood dancing school growing up or taking a class to get in shape to do a show is very different from doing the Argentine tango and the waltz
right.
and the paso doble and all those other things. I have never, ever done ballroom, and as a result, it's a completely different set of muscles, and if anything, where your instincts think they want to go, you better not let them, because they're completely different. It's a completely different stance, everything. Oh, no, it's funny. It's funny that I'm talking to you guys today, because this morning I've had five rehearsals so far, and they don't let you rehearse too much in the beginning, because they know people are going to do too much,
right.
And that's really good for somebody like me, because I'm definitely from the school of, if you can't do... I mean, no, why do when you can overdo?
Okay,
you
know okay, I mean? Right. So once you commit to it, you're going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but this morning I woke up and I went, oh, yeah, I'm using muscles I haven't used in a while.
But that's a great feeling. That's a great feeling when you wake up in the morning and you feel sore in places you haven't been sore in a while because you know you did something good for you.
Yeah, and it's not always exercise, you know.
I do, I know. I was setting you up.
No, babe, I got that sitcom training.
Take TikTok. Now, we have one professional dancer on this show, and it's Mary Vandeveld, who is...
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're just modest. Say hi to your friend Mary Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi.
How are you? I am so excited for you. And, you know, you can dance at any age. You can do this at any age. How do you feel about dancing with Derek? Aren't you dancing with Derek?
Please. Yes. And the thing is that, you know, they set this thing up where, well, your partner's going to come to your house and you're going to meet your partner. He was not even on my radar screen because he was out of last year's competition.
Right.
And I didn't know he was back. And he's doing Hairspray and everything else. So all of a sudden, you know, the door opens and it's Derek. I scream. I start to cry. And then all of a sudden there's that split second of, oh, my gosh, did I just superimpose Derek Huff's face on somebody else's and someone else is standing there? You know what I mean? Like in my wish. And
it turned out it was Vic Tayback from Alice. It was so weird.
It was pretty crazy. And I could not be more thrilled and humbled by an experience. Believe me, whatever advantage people might think I have from having had some, you know, looking like the person in the middle where all the good dancers dance around, you know, in like a Broadway show.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever advantage people think I have, I'm opposite Lori Hernandez, you know.
Oh, that kid should be great.
Yeah, but if you ask me, you have the best choreographer. So,
oh, my gosh, by far. Did you see all the pictures? That Derek completely directed that picture. He said, okay, no, hold your arm down. No, not that one. No, do this, you know, point your toe, do this. I mean, our picture looks great, and I'm so thrilled because how often do you get a good picture of anything?
Well, as competitive as you are, have you handicapped the field other than Lori?
No, because I haven't met anybody. I've met only a couple people. Maureen McCormick, I know.
Yeah.
I already knew her. And she, you know, she was on Broadway as well. And she's Marsha, of course, and adorable and so nice. And I met Babyface the other day, and I met Amber Rose.
Babyface.
But that's it. I haven't
Babyface.
Met anyone else.
Jay, give me a little whip appeal before we're done here. Babyface, so good. And you said you've had three rehearsals. When's the premiere?
Five rehearsals. The premiere is September 12th, which is also the day Taxi premiered many years ago.
Well, that's good.
78.
That's
yeah,
very cool.
Good
that's
time.
Good. Kind of karma. Speaking of plugs, by the way, in Lawfully Yours, with Chelsea Crisp, that you guys love from Fresh Off the Boat, out on DVD and digital, what, next week, right?
Yeah, September 6th. This movie is so aptly titled because when I tell you the plot, you're going to go, what? But it's a perfect title for it. So here's the story.
Okay.
I play a woman whose husband has an accident at the beginning of the movie. He goes into a coma and he passes away. And it's very sad. My prodigal son comes home. He's this big New York guy. He comes home. He and his wife are having trouble. It's played by Chelsea Crisp. They're having trouble. He's been cheating on her. She's going to help me pack up my house. I'm devastated that I have to leave. But she kind of falls in love with the local preacher that I helped facilitate because he used to be married to my daughter who passed away. And he's my ex-son. He's my son-in-law. And they end up getting together because my son is that much of a jerk.
So love and death bring joy and happiness and hilarity.
Exactly. And you got to hear this part of the story. So we know we're going to be shooting in my house, you know, my house of 30 years. So I called them. I said, does set dressing need photographs? I mean, I have pictures of them. Maybe we could put some pictures of me with the little boys and, you know, all kinds of pictures. And they said, oh, yes. And do you have any wedding pictures? And I said, oh, well, you're in luck because I've had three husbands. So I will send you wedding pictures.
So pick your wedding.
I send them three sets of wedding pictures. And they said, oh, your third husband, he looks like the character that we've had in mind for the father. And they said, would he come down to Virginia Beach where we were shooting? Would he come down and take pictures with everybody so we can have like family pictures all over the house? You know, take pictures with your son, And so they said, but he has to come back 2 weeks later and be in a coma for the coma scenes. So my husband is a publisher, has never been in show business before. He's totally game. He grows a beard out so he looks like he's in a coma, comes down, shoots for a day in a hospital gown, in a hospital bed, falls asleep during so many of the takes.
Sure.
Once in a while, there's like a shudder or a snoring, and it's like, right. Michael, wake
right.
up.
Right.
Ruins
right.
a take. And it's also Super Bowl Sunday. So he kept thinking like, oh, you know.
Right,
he
right.
found out show business is not glamorous. That's
and,
for sure.
And has he gone completely diva since then?
No. But he tells people that he's in the movie, too, even though he was kind of whittled down to just one shot.
I'm familiar with that move. In Lawfully Yours, it's out on DVD and digital on the 6th. The premiere of Dancing with the Stars is, did you say the 5th or the 12th?
No, the 12th.
The 12th. Well, you got a busy time coming.
Oh, yeah. It's got so much going on. It's been great. Oh, no, I've got another feature coming out in October and two Hallmark movies on in October. So
Excellent. Lots
going on. I'm glad I'm just doing this in turn. I'm glad all the things that I'm promoting have already been shot because when you're doing Dancing with the Stars, you really don't want to be doing anything else.
I would guess.
Mary Lou, what's the hardest dance so far? I know it's early, but.
Oh, well, I'm not even at dances yet. I'm not even
You're
at
not
dances.
Even practicing
I'm just
yet.
Basic. I'm just at basic hold patterns and steps, and this is where your body, your rib cage should be during
my space, your space.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy! It's crazy. You can see why everybody's body changes so much.
And it's got to be harder to be the girl, right? It's the old Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers thing. Yeah. I did everything he did, and I did it backwards and heels.
Yeah, it's like you're the picture, he's the frame. So you know, you better be a pretty good picture because it's very obvious when you're sloppy.
But it's Derek, you know, so his space can be your space, I think.
Yeah, but he's amazing. He's just amazing.
That's between Mary Lou and Derek.
He's so specific and so great. It's like I keep saying that he talks to every cell. You know, he just knows how to get the right, you know, the right movement from you, and he's so good. I did compare him a couple times to the band lead, the what you call, you know, the teacher in Whiplash.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Stop.
So does he become less hot and more annoying when he's Mr. Stop Stop guy, or it's just part of what
he's got to do?
No,
he's much hotter and much more. He's phenomenal, and he's a little hottie, and we have so much fun, and we laugh constantly, and we have a lot of energy. We have very similar energies. In fact, he wants to call our team name Henergy because our names both begin with H.
That's good.
And so, yeah, it's a good name. It's a good name.
You know, here's the thing. The best job in show business, Tom Bergeron. He just shows up and just.
My gosh, right? He's amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, he just comes out. He's Mr. Charming, Mr. Funny Boy, and
he's got access to all of his brain cells, and he's totally in present time all the time.
Yeah.
He's off the cuff. He's incredible.
And he also wanders into the dressing rooms of all the. Oh, you didn't hear that part. Oh, I probably shouldn't have said that.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Hey, great talking to you. Congratulations on all of it, Mary Vandeveld.
Thank
you're picking Mary Lou Henner, right?
I am. I definitely am.
So
just keep the
thank
Advil
you so
handy.
Much.
You'll be fine.
All right, and we'll take care.
I know.
Advil.
Yes. The Advil. Yeah, the Advil.
You know, I was told by a doctor that Advil is so effective that it tricks your body into thinking that there's no trauma there.
Oh.
So it doesn't send all the like little helper cells to the area. He said, don't take Advil because if you are in pain, it'll just, you know, your body won't heal as much. I mean, maybe that's a bad thing to say. I mean, that's why it's so effective.
That's why it works. Yeah,
that's why it works. No, the dancers on Broadway, people literally used to take like handfuls and like knock them back and get on stage.
Not good. Something between Advil and leeches.
Yeah,
would really be the way to
but
go.
I have tried cupping. I tried cupping in the 70s, not, you know, way ahead of the other
Michael
people
Phelps
doing.
And everybody. Yeah.
By
the way, I know how much you love Chicago. We'll take care of your town, but next time you're in, come see us.
Oh, I definitely will. We'll take another dancing picture, and I'll be better this time.
Yeah, and I'll stop sweating. It's Mary Lou Henner. Mary Lou Henner.
That's awesome.
So Vandeveld, you think, huh? You're the dance expert on the show.
Well, I didn't realize, you know, she's had so much dance experience, and we need someone, you know, I'm not saying she's old, because she's not. I mean, she's,
Wait. Okay, 64. She just hung up.
Yeah,
but
she's
good.
Hey, you
old.
Know what? I'm close to her age, so she's 64. More power to her. I think she's going to be awesome because she's got the choreography, she's got the background, and just hope her body holds up.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's what it is.
That's why I don't do it. 9:24, we're back with more of the Steve Cochran Show, and Steve Dale's going to bring a puppy in here shortly on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
9:40, Steve Dale's here. Steve, I thought you were bringing a dog.
Well, I brought Emily Clem from South Suburban Humane Society.
Hi, Emily, how are you? Well, let me get a microphone that works here. Try that one.
She's the CEO.
It's good to be here.
Nice to see you. Tell me about your place.
Yeah, South Suburban Humane Society is in Chicago Heights, Illinois. We're in the south suburbs. We adopt out about 4,000 pets a year.
4,000?
So, yep.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a so.
Let me do the math for you kids. That's 11 a day.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so we also work a lot with pet owners to help them keep their pets through low-cost vet care, low-cost spay-neuter, low-cost vaccines.
Maybe you move to that microphone since this one's not functioning perfectly.
What I'm amazed at, Steve, is you could do the math in your head that fast.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
Not just another pretty face.
So we've brought now, I don't know, 12, 15 dogs on the show. We've adopted out nearly all of them because we're not stupid. We see a trend. We continue doing it. We have Dave Ennett play with the dog or hold the dog. It gets adopted
out.
That's
the good luck adoption charm.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't just hold the dog. He lays on the floor and lets the dog crawl on him.
And that's the secret sauce.
Which today is easy because of this little one here. Who do you have there?
Yeah, this is Tori. Tori is 10 years old and toothless.
Explain Tori's story and where Tori is from. Yeah. Now this, I'm upping the ante now. I'm making it tougher because this dog has a backstory.
Yeah, Tori was rescued by Animal Rescue Corps, which is a national animal organization that goes in and rescues abused and neglected pets from a puppy mill in Mississippi, a few hours south of Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
So some people went in and they posed as puppy buyers and saw the absolutely horrible conditions that existed, got the sheriffs involved, came in, raided the place, rescued over 100 pets who were in just horrible conditions. Tori was in a barn, and she had never seen the light of day.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
A prisoner, not a dog, a prisoner.
Imagine sleeping where your toilet is, never flushing the toilet. It was so bad. Day after day after day, year after year after year. It was so
bad.
You've seen video of these rescuers coming in with these special masks so they can breathe. And these masks didn't even work. That's how bad it was. And these dogs had to live there every single day. And cats.
Stunning their life.
There was, and some didn't make it. You know, of the well over 100 animals that they rescue.
I mean, I know money drives sick people the same way it drives people that aren't sick, but I don't understand how you do that.
I don't even understand how we allow this in America.
Well, it's stopping, though, right? I mean, you know,
we're getting better in some way, Steve, but the truth of the matter is, so these puppy millers have learned, if we go online, we get a not-for-profit status, which somehow they can get, then we'll fool people, and they do. So
we have to have state by state by state by state develop tough enough laws to shut it down.
Yes, absolutely. But that's not happening. You know, now the good news is in Illinois and other places, we have laws where dogs and cats cannot be sold through pet stores. And because they cannot be sold through pet stores, those are puppy mill animals, the pet store animals. So it cuts off one source, but they still go online in a big way. So they're still here as much as they ever were.
Mm-hmm. Why aren't there, and if this is a stupid question, I'm sure you'll tell me, why isn't there, in the vacuum that exists, a pet store that would step up and say, we're working with this renowned shelter or that renowned shelter mm-hmm. as a distributor to try to do the right thing? Mm-hmm. Is there no way a pet store can do that?
No, there are. There are pet stores that are doing it. In the Southland Alsip Nursery and Garden, they used to sell puppies that were bred. Now they only adopt out pets that were rescued through shelters. So I think the trend is there. I think it's going to keep growing. I think the key is to keep building awareness about puppy mills. People don't know where the dogs in the pet store come from. So, you know, it's up to Steve Dale, as one of the preeminent pet experts.
He's shy. He won't
located talk. Right here to help us get the word out.
There's a lot of the puppy boutiques that you were talking about. And I actually asked Steve Dale a couple of years ago, right, Steve? There was one in Lincoln Park. And I said, oh, it's so cute. And they have these
little cubby holes.
And he said, don't go. Yeah. Those are because you don't know.
Yeah, people don't know. People don't know. So getting back to this dog, it's a Chihuahua mix sort of kind of.
Yeah.
When did you get her?
She came to us a week ago Saturday. So it'll be 2 weeks.
She seems to be kind of socialized.
Well,
considering
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Considering the backstory.
See, that's to me what the magic of dogs is, though. That just a few days of love and affection, and they, you know, turn right around. And she's learning how to be a dog. You should have seen the first time I put her up on my couch. She was like a kid in a bouncy house. She was, you know, like, what is this soft thing that I'm on? and she's meeting new people. She's a little more hesitant of men. I think she just hasn't maybe seen men.
Well, she's probably been mistreated too, right?
Right.
Maybe.
But I'm telling you, she's going to make a great pet for someone who is really laid back. She loves to sleep all day long. So,
well, she'd be great for the morning show.
Yeah. Exactly, right? Put her in a little corner right over there.
Mm-hmm. A senior citizen, perhaps?
A senior. She'd be great for a senior.
A lap dog?
She's got about 10 minutes of energy in the morning. She runs around a little bit, and then she just wants to lay in your lap and just cuddle.
Will she get much bigger?
No.
She's 10 years old.
No. She's put on a couple of pounds already since we have her.
What does she weigh?
She's about 5 pounds.
It's unbelievable.
I know. She's pretty tiny.
So she might get up to 6 pounds.
Right, right.
Dave, we can put her to the test here, see if she'll come to you or if you can hold on to her.
Sure. I'd be glad to.
I'll play past the puppy.
She's already a little nervous. She's already a little nervous. She's going to Dave now. Easy, Tori. It's okay.
It's okay. We're friends. We're friends,
Steve. Steve, it's so nice of you to sit in Dave's lap as well to make Tori more comfortable.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. There you go, Dave. You got the touch, man.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
You want to?
She's a little cutie.
Come on, you want to play?
I don't think. Let's go one step at a time. Cuddle. Play his next date. God, you move so fast, Dave. We just met.
So her eyes got a little big at first, but you can see she's beginning to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Because of the magic Dave Bennett touch in part.
Yeah. All right, so how do we adopt?
Yeah, so she'll be back at the South Suburban Humane Society this afternoon. We're at 1103 West End Avenue in Chicago Heights.
How'd she do in the car?
She is great. She likes to ride behind my neck. So, you know, on the expressway, that's not great thing. So I put her in a carrier and she was fine.
Okay. But if you're just sitting in a car, she likes to ride.
Oh, yeah. She'll just, wherever you're sitting, that's where she wants to be.
That's going to be a tough one for you to say goodbye to.
You know, I've had dozens of foster dogs, and each one is hard. Yeah. She's probably going to be a little harder just because of her journey to get here. But I have three at home. She's not She's not meant for me. She's meant for someone else.
Well, that's good of you. It sounds like you're doing amazing work there.
Thank you. Yeah, we're working hard. We call ourselves the little shelter that could because we're not fancy. We don't have a big fancy building, you know, or a ton of money, but we do everything with what we have.
Oh, they do incredible work. So, you know, one of the many reasons why I love doing this is not only we adopt out individual dogs, we're able to highlight some animal shelters that don't get the press really. Absolutely. Around Chicago. And there are so many. And this is one that's been around for quite a number of years,
yeah,
actually.
Since 1970.
Yeah, that's done amazing work, kind of under the wire. But those in animal welfare certainly know about it. And this dog, I hope we find a home
Me
for.
Me too. Yeah, beauty. All right, now, before we go, to be fair, because the question occurs to me based off our conversation, if people want to know if a shelter that's not one of the big shelters is on the up and up, we know you're good, but if you run into a shelter and you go, I just want to check out if this shelter's okay, you know everybody. I'm asking them to contact you.
Sure, everybody in America. So no matter where you are in America, contact
anybody
me.
Anybody listening, but honestly, you could find out for them.
Oh, sure. Well, I know the Chicago area facilities, the one
right.
that are...
And the others you can make a phone call on.
Sure, but what I
if
tell people...
If you need
people,
any help in any way with Steve, you need a ride to the airport, you need help moving, just get a hold of Steve.
Of course. Yeah. What I tell people when they go online, if something seems right, it may not be. Visit the facility yourself. I mean, that's what I tell people.
Without a doubt.
Because you can be fooled. I mean, these places, you know, what they do is they advertise on places like Craigslist, and they say, all the things we want to hear. But it's only the things we want to hear, right? They're not necessarily what the truth is.
Good to see you. Anything else we need to plug before we throw you out of here?
Well, you know, National Dog Day was this past Friday.
Yeah.
Did you celebrate?
I did. Dave dressed up like a schnauzer, and I took him for a walk.
Yeah, it was great.
Is that why that fire hydrant over there? Anyway.
He hit it well.
Yes.
It wasn't awkward at all.
So it is amazing. So what occurred to me is all these people were posting pictures of dogs on the internet, which is a great thing. All their cute dogs. It occurred to me as how our relationship with dogs really came about. I have a story if you want to hear it.
Sure.
So a very long time ago, there were Neanderthals and Cro-Magnon, all our relatives, and they actually lived for some time at around the same time on the planet. And they even intermingled a little, but there were two different species, completely different species.
Right.
And outside their communities, I mean, there were no garbage dumps. There was no recycling back then, right?
No, of course not.
So they just put their garbage right outside, the trash, the refuse, the food they didn't want to eat. Whatever it was, they put it just outside where they lived. And the relatives of the wolves at that time, they weren't really today's wolves, they were relatives, would kind of hang out there because free meal.
They knew they were going to eat.
Yeah. And they would warn when big saber-tooth things came around. And people then realized, oh, we have a warning system here. At least the Cro-Magnons realized that. And what they did is they invited some of those more bold, individual, wolf-like ancestors inside. And then the Ice Age came, and it began to get really cold. And they actually began, even then, to sleep with dogs. Even then, presumably.
So then the evolution of domestication came from that point forward.
Yes, it really did. And they, unlike the Neanderthals, which really weren't very good hunters anyway, they began to hunt with dogs because there was no car around then and people really weren't any faster than they are today.
Right.
And the wolf-like ancestors were really fast and they were able to hunt with these animals. It benefited both species and they began to breed for that. You're right. And what happened after the Ice Age is Neanderthals didn't make it. Cro-Magnon men did. They became us. The wolf-like ancestors became the dog you have in your hands right now that we hope to adopt out. So if
and
it wasn't for
dangerous
dogs...
dangerous dog from that day, I think we all remember, the Labradoodle. Oh, wow. Oh, they were just vicious. Well, you're Captain History.
If it wasn't for dogs, we wouldn't be here. That's what I maintain.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be in the studio now.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank the only dog in the studio Tori. For making sure we're here.
Tori.
You're on the radio Sunday?
6:30 Sunday morning, talking to Vicky Santo about the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation,
thing.
Right, which
thing.
I know you know about. Yep.
Yeah, Vicky will be coming in here, I think, in about a week or so.
Right.
Nice to see you. And great
pleasure.
To meet you.
Thank you so
How
much.
How about another plug?
Yeah. SouthSuburbanHumane.org is our website. We're down in Chicago Heights. We can't wait to see everybody. If you can't adopt Tori, we have dozens of other dogs and puppies and cats and kittens available for adoption.
And you have your next benefit in April?
Yeah. Our annual gala is April 29th.
The gala.
And I would love to announce that we are presenting Steve Dale with our Community Partner Award.
Oh, look at that.
For all of the amazing work that he has done bringing attention to canine influenza in Chicago.
Oh, that's nice. It's well deserved. And I know you're giving him a giant milk bone.
Trophy shaped like a
milk bone. So there you go. Thank you guys very much.